Matthew 14, reading and exposition, begins at verse 22. And we'll go through to verse 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now keep your Bibles handy, will you please? Let me now, at this point, give you what's on my mind. I want to give you the structure. Remember the background. Christ is on the mountain. The disciples are down there in the storm. Now, first of all, I want to speak to you on the majesty of Christ. The majestic Christ, revealed first against the severity of the storm. Revealed secondly, in the exercise of his sovereignty as he walks upon the water. The majesty of Christ, seen against the severity of the storm and his sovereign act of walking on water. Secondly, I want to speak to you on the mastery of Christ. For he is master of ocean and earth and sky, master of every circumstance. And that mastery is revealed in three ways. Verse 27. It's revealed here in the assurance that it brings. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. His mastery revealed in the assurance that it brings. Verse 28. His mastery is revealed in the faith that it creates. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. His impression of mastery was that it created a new expansion of faith. When I say the faith that it creates, it wasn't the beginning of faith, but it was a tremendous expansion of faith. Lord, bid me to come. Thirdly, the mastery of Christ is revealed, verse 29, in the power that it released. He said, Come! The mastery of Christ in the assurance that it brings, in the faith it creates, in the power that it releases. Look again. Thirdly and finally, I want to speak to you on the authority of Christ. The authority of Christ revealed, first of all, please, in verse 30. Revealed in that he saved Peter. He rescued Peter. His hand went out and lifted him. Authority revealed in saving and rescuing. Secondly, his authority revealed in verse 30 again. Verse 31, he rebuked Peter. O man of little faith, why did you doubt? And finally, his authority revealed in the fellowship that they enjoyed. See, I don't understand that one. All right then. When Christ lifted him, caught him by the hand and lifted him, he lifted him back onto the water. And together they walked on the water back to the ship. Still in the midst of the storm, for the storm didn't cease, verse 32, till they got there. You talk about the walk on the road to Emmaus? What a walk this must have been for Peter. Yes, the authority in that he saved Peter, he rebuked Peter, and he introduced him to a fellowship again that he had given up when he looked away from Christ. You've got the background. Now please, let me begin. Christ is on the mountain alone, a picture of Christ as high priest representing us before God. The ship with the disciples represents us today in the midst of the storms of life. But we'll need to learn that Christ will come into the very heart of our circumstances and will be to us all and more than we need. Now, just a minute. But this is going to surprise you. These disciples were in big difficulty. Now, no doubt about it. They were in difficult days. The storm. But their difficulty arose from the fact that they were being obedient and not disobedient. You see, now listen to me. If you are willfully disobeying, if you are refusing to bow to what the Scripture teaches, then you're in big trouble. Big trouble. And the sooner you get to Christ, the better. But these people, these disciples were there because they were obedient. You see, when everything was calm, the Lord said, go to the other side. So they got into the boat and went. Now that was all right. And then suddenly, as on the lake yonder, down came the storm. The water swept up. The wind's blowing. Everything's boisterous. Well, you might say to me, after all, there were one or two fishermen there. Why didn't they turn the boat and sail with the wind? That would have solved the problem. Ah, but just a minute. The Master had said, go to the other side. And they are prepared to go, despite the difficulty, despite the storm, despite the distraction. He had said it. So they were in trouble because they were obedient. Why do you think that if you're obedient, life should be easy? Why do you think that the storm should hit other people and not you or me? And so here they were. You see, the fact of their obedience was such that it enabled them to see Christ. You see, this was a rowing boat. The destination was behind them. That's why when they were rowing, they saw him coming. Don't you be too occupied about the destination. There's going to be a lot of difficulties to get you home. But we'll need to learn that Christ will come right into the circumstances. And so I begin, as I talk to you about the majestic Christ, oh, the sight of Christ walking on the water. Oh, the wonder and glory of this person, superior to creation, superior to wind, superior to gravity,
The majestic Christ walking on the water.
But against the background of the storm. Tell me, have the storms been blowing? Tell me, are they severe, disturbing? Let me open up a little, please.
They could come to you personally in the loss of health.
Oh yes, the heart attack, the stroke, the sudden illness. Know how vulnerable we feel.
Maybe it's come to you in the loss of your loved one.
And this fifth Easter conference without him and her has been quite a trial. Quite disturbing.
It could come to you through what we call in the old country redundancy. You lose the job suddenly and unexpectedly, and it's thrown you. It could come to you through your family.
Your sons and your daughters, reaching teenage, you're beginning to become rebellious. Some of them are Christians and some of them are not. Oh, these Christians' children. You young folks, excuse me, will you? Eh? Don't be too hard on me, will you? You say, well, you're going to be hard enough on us by the sound of it. You know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how cruel the Christians' children can be. Now listen to me. Now, I don't say you've always been wise, but you've given them everything. They don't know the value of money. You've laid it on their lap. And some of you maybe had a wee bit hard time earlier, so you're trying to cushion your children against it. And they'll take everything and think it's the right. If they're not saved, they can hardly wait to leave home. Of course, some of them are saved and they're desperate to get away too. Well, mind you, it's quite a storm in your life, isn't it? Now, I'm not being hard, but I'm a parent, and I remember what God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. I have nourished and reared up children, and they rebelled against me. Now, that was temporary criticism. Come again. But sometimes they're saved. They take the first job. But they don't tell everybody they're Christians. And after a few weeks, you suddenly realize they're saying to you, I would like to go with the boys or the girls to a certain place. You're not at all happy about it. Well, they'll go. Then the next thing is they start to go out with a boy or a girl that they met in a place where they should never have been. And you're breaking your heart and the tears are flowing, but they're still going on. Maybe someday they'll walk in quite suddenly, so that's the way they do it, put the pressure on them. They're told that. All the young fellows about them will say, no, don't worry about them, just put the pressure on them and they'll give in. So they come in one day and say, we're engaged, there's the ring. Defying God, breaking every law in the book. And still maintaining their faith. It's a big storm, isn't it? Big storm. Let me come again. Is there quite a storm in your marriage? You see, you're not setting yourself up as a marriage counsellor. No, no, that's a good thing. I'm glad you thought about that. For I believe that men of God and teachers of divine truth and true godly elders should be marriage counsellors. I believe there's a need for depth of understanding, far better than a godless psychiatrist. Now, maybe put some of you good men on the spot, and that's what I believe. Tell me that relationship you've formed. You might be engaged or you might not, but you're not just too sure about it, and it's getting a bit stormy. The demands are being made on you. And you're just at that point, you don't know whether to make the right decision, and you're loath to move or act. You see, there's a whole host of things that can disturb. Life's real, isn't it? Oh, that. You see, I want to bring to you tonight not only the reality of life, but the reality of Christ in the midst of it all. And there they were. Can you get it? The night is dark. The wind howling. The waves are lashing. And suddenly, they saw a figure. Who is it? Oh, you know it's Christ, don't you? Just a minute now. They're scared. They say it's a ghost. And they're frightened. Now you can understand this. You've got the storm, the wind, the waves, the spray, so that they would look and see him. And then the spray would come up, and they wouldn't see him. He's gone. And then suddenly they look again, and there he is. And he's still coming forward. Out of the storm, out of the heart of the storm, he's making for the boat. Out of the darkness of the night, Christ is coming, and he's drawing near. Tell me, do you find that? Come on now. Be honest before God this afternoon. Tell me, have you been looking for Christ to come to the boat? Are you trying to cope without him? Tell me, please. Now, be honest. You don't believe in what the brethren call sanctified common sense, do you? I tell you, it's not much use in the storms of life. I tell you, what you're needing is Christ. You're not needing advice for the brethren. You're needing the Lord to come into the storm. He'll settle it. But it'll mean an expansion of your faith. He'll call you into a circumstance that's beyond what you ever thought. But he'll come, and he's drawing near. Look now, will you please? He knew they were troubled. He understood they were crying out. And suddenly across the waters there came the familiar voice of the Son of God. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. What comfort. It is I myself. What assurance. Be not afraid. What encouragement. Christ is coming near. He's saying, listen, still your fears. Settle yourself. I'm here. It's me. It's the Christ of the cross. It's the Christ of the throne. It's the Christ who is your friend and priest. And he's coming and he's saying, I'm here. Do you feel he's right beside you? In the midst of it all, have you been looking for Christ? Oh, there's an explanation. Now, don't you try it on your own. Don't you think you've got what it takes to handle it, for you haven't. Now watch. The mastery of Christ. Oh, yes. He's master of ocean and earth and sky. He's master of every circumstance. He's the controller of every element in life that affects you. And he draws near. And now, please, he's not going to still the storm. Oh, I know how you feel. You'd wish you could wake up some morning and get back to what it was before. It doesn't work like that. And suddenly you're beginning to sense Christ, but you're still in the storm. Isn't that? The mastery of Christ. Seen now, first of all, in the assurance that it brought. Don't be afraid, I'm here. I'm the same Jesus yesterday, today and forever. The same in the yesterday of your experience, the same in the today of your necessity, the same in the tomorrow of your expectation. I am the eternal Christ, master of every circumstance. It's mine. Be not afraid. Now watch. Peter's listening. Let me talk to you about Peter. I like Peter. Oh, I know now, please, we're not making distinctions between apostles, but you like the Paul, you're the intelligent type.
I like this elemental Peter, the react. You see, that was Peter's problem. He always reacted, rightly or wrongly. At times he would wear his heart on his sleeve, and other times he wouldn't. He was that kind of man. But listen, he heard the voice of Christ. Tell me, does the Lord speak to you? Come on now. Maybe you don't believe in these sort of things I'm talking about.
Peter heard them.
Now watch now, the mastery of Christ in the face that creates. Lord, mind you, the storm's raging, the night's dark. Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. Fair enough did he get an idea like that. You see, you and I have said, Lord, Lord, we're glad to see you come in. Not at all. Not at all. Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. Well, tremendous, isn't it? You see, oh, this is amazing. You see, in the situation, Peter felt he would be safer with Christ in the water than with the disciples in the boat. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's better to have Christ with you in the storm? Or do you like a few brethren round about you? They'll probably give you the wrong advice anyway. Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. What an expansion of faith. He had never had a situation like this before. Oh, you and I don't know the latent power of faith. Oh, this person that's prepared to step out into the unknown. And in stepping out, the waves will become a pavement for his feet. Peter, you couldn't be surprised. I mean, you can't ask for things like that and then expect no. Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And then it came. The power of it was released. The voice said, come! Come! Oh, I said, you talk about raising ladders. You talk about, do you remember how the Lord spoke? When he stood at the grave yonder, and he says, take away the stone. And then he said, Lazarus, hither, come! Ah, but here it's all different. It's all different. And he heard the voice of Peter and he said, Peter, come! And when he said that, he released his power. You believe that, don't you? Do you know that the method which divine persons have chosen to express their energy is by speaking? When they speak, they release energy. All right? Well, quickly now. Genesis 1. God said, let there be light. When he spoke, he released his energy, and there was light. John 5, the man at the pool, 38 years there. Tell me, friend, would you like to be made whole? He said, sure, I would. He said, you know, I can't get near the place. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And when Christ spoke, he released his power. The man rose, took up his bed and walked. Revelation 19, Christ is coming to vanquish every foe. How will he do it? He'll do it by speaking. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword. The mouth is for speaking, the sword is for judgment. That's how they do it. I could give other illustrations. Leave it there. Suddenly the voice says, come! And you release his power. That's right. His blood travels distance. Right across the river, it wasn't a boat. Watch now. Will you please? Peter started to go over the side of the ship. Now let's talk to Peter. We've had more sense than Peter had, you know. Now Peter, just you stay there. Now Peter is that. Well, he's getting out. Now listen, Peter. You listen to us. We have all listened, you know. We've been through life quite a bit. Listen, it's not only that, it's dangerous. Stay where you are. So look, Peter's getting up and he's getting down out of the ship. Peter, listen to this. Now, listen, stop. It's not only dark, it's not only dangerous, it's difficult, it'll be fatal. Stay where you are. But Peter's out. He's walking in the water while I've been talking. Did you notice him over there? He was walking in the water.
Watch now.
Watch what it says. He walked on the water to go to Jesus.
What's he doing? He's living above his circumstances. He's walking in the water. He's doing what Christ could do. Come on now, come on. Now don't evade it, don't wriggle. He's walking in the water. The power of Christ is lifted up there and he's doing what Christ could do.
And you know, as long as you looked at Christ, he walked. Isn't that right? It's only when he began to look around and see the wind.
Isn't that right? Now last night you were getting on fine, weren't you? Come on now. You were looking to the Lord and he was helping you to get through. And then you started to think about the problem again. You began to get occupied with all the folks, with all the circumstances. You began to get a wee bit bitter. You're thinking. You lost the chance of a lifetime. There it was, all those glories. You know, there are things in the Bible that puzzle me. I can't understand why Peter never ever told us about a thing like this. Maybe there's some experience too sacred to talk about. Here it says it comes to him. It can come to you. We're all different. Have you known what it is to walk in the water, live above your circumstances, forgetting the storm because you're absorbed with Christ? Christ can lift you up. Christ can keep you up. Then he looked and he began to think. Fear, doesn't it? Now we switch. It's all together, the majesty of Christ, the mastery of Christ, the authority of Christ. It says this, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. All right, that. The hand of Christ. You read the gospel about the hand of Christ, don't you? The eyes of Christ, the feet of Christ, and he caught him. You see, When you're listening to all this and you're saying to yourself, there he is now. There he is. He's failed. He'll think.
He'll never think. Don't you believe one word of it? He'll never think.
He began to think. The hand lifted him. Isn't it good that Christ overlooks our lack of faith? Isn't it? Have you never got down on your knees and thank God that he didn't hold everything against you? Have you never thanked him for the grace that bore with you in the lost opportunities?
He lifted him up, back up beside him.
I wish I had words to describe this scene like this. So there they are. They're standing in the water together. They're still howling about, and all the disciples in the boat there will come to them in a minute or two.
Then what do you think the Lord said to him?
Be of good cheer, this is I, be comforted. Well, that's past. That was in Acts 1. Jerusalem. And he said, man of the book, why did you do this?
He rebuked him. Peter, you forfeited an experience that have made you the king of the thing.
Peter, why could you doubt me? You saw me walking. I brought you to me, and you walked in the water alongside of me. How could you forfeit a thing like this?
I know. It must have been seventh heaven. Well, I'll allow that. The Bible says there are only three heavens.
But we'll allow it's a seventh heaven experience,
Cloud nine, Watch now.
So they'll come into the church. They come on, Peter. Come on. And together they walked in the water back home. I'd have given my right arm to have been there. Given my right arm to have been there. And they walked. You can see the disciples watching them. There they are, coming back. And it was only when they reached the ship that the wind ceased. Now, I'm drawing it to a close now. Only one man in 12 could do it.
There were 12 of them there. There was only one man in 12 to do it. Are you that one person? When everybody else is keeping to the safety and security of the boat and refusing to step out in faith, refusing to take this venture of faith, just one man in 12.
I read the Old Testament, I'm visualizing. And when I come to this sort of thing, I'm visualizing. I'm talking to you about it. Do you know what I wish what could have happened? See, the 12 of them. They're all saying, it's the Lord. They're in the boat. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, let me come to thee. Wouldn't the whole 11 have said that? Oh, brother, it's past understanding. Imagine 12 of them get out in the boat and walk into the night. 12 of them. I tell you,
but the fact that one did it tells you it can't be done. Doesn't the Lord talk about this little faith? Little faith.
Listen, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you ever seen the grains of mustard seed out yonder in Palestine? You could have it here, grain.
You could walk on water.
And for Peter, every difficulty disappeared when he gets absorbed with Christ.
He's saying, Lord, there you are, here's the storm, all about it, I'll get to you. Well, that's it.
That, you know, that was Peter's way of casting his burden on the Lord.
Just saying, Lord, you're there, I'm coming to you, it's all yours. One man in 12 dead.
Could I quote to you from the Bible? Just as I sit down. For I want you to grasp this. I could have spoken to you from text of Scripture. I could have explained them to you and expounded them. But I chose to take up the incident, vivid, dramatic, that you might never forget the incident. And in not forgetting the incident, you might grasp the truth.
Can you hear 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you believe you can do it? Whatever you are and where you are today, do you believe you can do it? My grace, my strength. Oh, the
remember, when we opened this conference meeting, we spoke on an address that had to do with Enoch. And you remember that our good brother Crawford, when he followed me very kindly, told you what I've been talking about. Do you remember that? Remember he took a text out of his reading and he said, now that one. I was going to say that, he said that to Jack that day, he said to Brother Hunter. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on now. Secular education will give you a place in this world. And it'll give you a standing. It'll never fit you for this. We walk by faith. Second scripture, Romans 8, verse 31. If God before us, who can be against us? What's this? Peter, God for you in the person of his Son. There's no storm that won't you if you would look to him. Thirdly, finally, listen to this now. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ who pours his strength into me. Now just a minute, please, now just a minute.
Give me a reason, credit. Now, I know the context of Philippians 4, verse 13.
You give me credit for that.
You see, unlike some of my brethren, I believe there are certain texts in the Bible that at times leave contextual values. Matthew 18 and 20.
And this one. Oh, I can see it all here as plain as daylight. I look at Peter, and I say, you're doing it. You're not going in your own strength, Peter. You're going on the strength of another. And Peter says, that's right, I can do all things through Christ who pours his strength into me.
Tell me, have you ever met anybody in life that is living above their circumstances?
Come on now. I'm thinking of a man, a brother, that came to the assembly I was in shortly after I got converted. He was a well-known ministering brother, but to all our surprise, when we went along to hear him, he was sitting on the platform, and he spoke sitting. And it was only when he got up that we realized he was sort of bent over. He ultimately died of cancer. He was the first man in my life that ever took an interest in me. He even asked me when my day off was and asked me would I go a walk with him. For half an hour in the park, he wanted to talk to me. That man gave me encouragement to go on for God. Will you take it with you? I can do all things. Oh, this expansion. Oh, this limitless horizon. Oh, what you could do if you would just give yourself to Christ and leave yourself with him. And abandon worldly wisdom and come to Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. I can do all things through Christ who pours his strength into me. The storms of life, I bow me to thy will, O God, and all thy ways adore. Ill that God blesses is our good, O God, and unblessed good is ill, and all is right that seems most law, if it be his sweet will.